Hello and welcome to Health Matters. I am your host and radio health evangelist, Dr. Tony Weaver. Welcome to 2016. Let us be the first to wish the sober you a happy new year and best wishes for the upcoming year. This is the 2016 and beyond show. We're going to look a little bit ahead at what might happen in 2016, and I got a special treat in our second fractional portion. We're going to go back in time to 2000 and look at some predictions and see how they turned out. Thanks to our listeners at True Talk Internet Radio, and now to predict the future from the University of Kentucky Communications Infrastructure Manager.
Something like that.
And also to talk about our web presence, Rick Phillips. Hi, Rick.
Hi, Tony. You know you can get the audio of the shows at WMKY.org. That is Morehead State Public Radio's website. Find your way there. Do a search through the menus. You'll find Health Matters. You'll find some other shows. But once you get to Health Matters, we would say you'll see a list of summaries for each show.
Winteries for the colder months.
Yeah, right. You just had to do that, didn't you? You just had to do that. I thought we had graduated middle school a long time ago. Look, he can't even look me in the eye.
It's radio. I don't have to look at you
so,
in the eye.
So, WMKY.org, there you'll find the audio. Click on the link. Listen to the show. Send the link to your friends. Send the link to your families. Send the link to your enemies. Do whatever you want with the link. It's there for your pleasure. After that, jump on over to Facebook.com/HM Radio Show, and that is where you can interact with Health Matters. Leave us some comments. Share some feedback. Suggest some show topics. Or just comment in general. Either way, whatever you choose, you probably will elicit a response from us or Tony or somebody. But either way, again, it's your chance to let us know what you think and want to hear on Health Matters. That can be found at Facebook.com/HM Radio Show.
And our salute to Facebook user extraordinaire, Dr. Jamie Stutz of the University of Kentucky. He was on our show. He liked us. He commented and he shared. Could you do any more than that?
And you ignored
the big three.
Well, you didn't do anything.
I just acknowledged him
on
the show.
You did not even post a reply.
I know, but I just acknowledged him on the show. You can't do much
better
than that.
But it's going to take him. He had to wait a year. had to wait a whole year.
To get any kind of response. This is one of those New Year's jokes that everybody makes. Ha ha. Very funny, Rick. Way to go.
If you can go to eighth grade, I can go
to the New Year's jokes. I got you. Our sponsor of today's show, High Blood Pressure Tips, reminding you, do not delay, do not frolic, just get down with your systolic. We are talking about blood pressure control, and I've got 7 tips to help you get an accurate blood pressure reading. I'm going to go straight to tip number 1, because this is the one that really gets my goat. Tip number 1 to get an accurate blood pressure reading, put the cuff on your bare arm. If you put your cuff, if you put the blood pressure cuff on over a sweatshirt or a sweater, it can add 10 to 40 millimeters to your blood pressure reading. You don't want that. You don't want to see how hard you can squeeze a sweater to get your blood pressure. You want to see how hard it takes to squeeze your arm. And I will tell you, Rick, people come into the office, especially this time of year, and they are wearing a ton of stuff. You should layer when you go see your doctor. You should be able to get down to a short sleeve shirt when you see your doctor. It will make things more simple. It'll make your blood pressure more accurate. A couple of other things this fractional portion, and then we will talk some more in our next fractional portion. Support the arm at heart level. That is, you should not have your arm dangling. You should not be holding it out for the blood pressure cuff. It needs to be on the arm of the chair or on a table next to the chair at about chest level. If you do not support your arm, you can add up to 10 millimeters to your blood pressure that way. This is an interesting one, Rick. Don't have a conversation. This is one I would recommend for you pretty much anytime you go out in public.
I've just
ruined the show, haven't I? No, actually, I think the show looks like it's getting better. But at any rate, if you don't have a conversation with the staff person taking your blood pressure, you may have a lower blood pressure. That's an odd thing, but having the conversation can also add over 10 millimeters to your top number, up to that at times.
I'm not allowed to talk here.
Yeah, so don't have a conversation. The next thing.
But you know what? I'm not stressed.
Yeah.
My blood pressure's not up right now, unlike you trying to raise it.
The next thing is to empty your bladder. Not now, Rick. calm down. But before you get your blood pressure checked, empty your bladder. That can add also 10 to 15 to your top number if you have a full bladder and you're trying to control that while you're getting your blood pressure checked. So again, the main thing is have a bare arm under the cuff. The other things we talked about, arm at heart level, don't have a conversation while the blood pressure is being taken, and empty your bladder before you go into the office. These tips can get a more accurate blood pressure reading. Now, it's not true that this always adds 10 to 40 millimeters to your blood pressure reading, but it can, and it can give an erroneous blood pressure reading. So those are our first four tips of the seven on how to get an accurate blood pressure reading. Our sponsor, High Blood Pressure Tips. Do not delay. Do not frolic. Just get down with your systolic. Rick, how is work going for you? Well, all right, it's the day after New Year's, so we're going to assume
work
has gone for you for at least a little bit.
One day in, and I still can't get the date right.
Yeah, that's right. And it's a shame. You know, if you think about it, I was so happy back January 1st of 2001. You know, it was a 1-1-0-1. It's a win-win 1-1-0-1 win situation.
Right.
And I was very excited about that. But the problem was I couldn't remember to do that until 1-2-0-1. Yeah, and so it didn't work. But that first day, especially when you're in single digits on the month, the date comes off a lot faster. And if you have to sign and date a lot of stuff, it's a pretty big deal.
And you being a physician, I would suggest that physicians probably sign and date things quite often.
Yep.
So how many medical records are messed up the first 3 days of the year?
Yep. Well, and of course, we're typing more now, and some of these
dates
are
supplied. The beautiful thing is those dates probably get put in dynamically now at the time of filling out the form.
Yeah. And so you would think
so. Being the technology guy, supporting the technology, I'm your friend at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, that you'll remind me, but the truth of the matter is I seem to be doing a lot of typing, and I type the wrong date in, and it irritates me. That, though, is not the question.
Hey, you're the one who needs to invent a keyboard that does what you want, not what you tell it to do.
I need a person. The keyboard is way too simple for me. I need a person that I tell it to do stuff.
Yeah, but it needs to do what you want, not what you tell it to do.
Right. All right. Now, let's go back. Rick has got me completely off topic, but there was an episode. I've used this all the time. I know.
It took like 8 minutes to get you completely like doing 360s.
There was an episode of the TV show Castle.
I don't watch that show.
I know you don't, but I'm going to tell you about it. So Castle is about this mystery writer who decides he wants to be a better writer, so he joins the police force, and then he starts dating a beautiful police lieutenant, and they fall in love and all those things. But meanwhile, they're solving crimes. Well, in this case, and I'm going to use some technical terms here, Rick, the Vic had formaldehyde on her skin. That meant that the perp, and again, if you don't understand this, I'll explain it to you later, the perp must have been a mortician. This is the way they worked it out. They're using an FBI computer, so they go and stand in front of a glass screen, because a glass screen is a really high-tech computer.
Absolutely.
And they say, computer, show us where all the morticians are in New York City. And the thing is, they're not talking to the computer. This is this guy. They have a guy sitting there
right.
on a typewriter, right. on a keyboard, and he starts typing, and in 3 seconds,
Criminal
he's got
Minds has a girl.
He's got a map of all the morticians in New York City.
Absolutely.
In 3 seconds.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But they talk to the guy. See, I need the guy. I don't need the keyboard. I need the guy. Yeah, I can walk up and I can say, computer, and if I did that, then I'm going to be in really good shape.
Right.
I forgot why we had this conversation.
Because you need somebody. You need somebody 2nd. To do what you want, not what you
ask. Absolutely right. If I had a guy, I could say, guy.
Why guy?
No, I would call him computer. I would say, computer,
you
type
him?
In the date. Well, the only example I have is a guy. You have the girl example. You can talk to the girl. I'm talking to the guy.
Okay. Okay. You have it wherever, however you want.
So the date is January
2nd. My girl's better than your guy.
Now let's see if we can move on to something
think,
related
this
to
this is how Health Matters is getting a foot into the new year.
That's right. This is 2016 is going to have to get better.
But you know what it says though, Tony? Things don't change.
All right.
Don't be worried.
Sure.
Things are not changing even though the year has changed.
Cuz you mean the year is changing, Health Matters is still stupid. I will tell
you.
Well,
I wasn't saying stupid, but I was saying
right,
the same.
But I will tell you there's a lot of doctors that have a guy. Because right now the use of scribes to record medical records is absolutely skyrocketing.
You don't use
in the
Siri?
No. Well, I use a dictation software for letters, but not I don't use it anywhere in any of the clinics because my electronic medical records are so primitive and the computers are so primitive, they can't even load the dictation software in them.
Yeah, see, so I'm a Cortana guy, and Cortana uses she works with my phone, with my
sure she does.
My Windows
and if I had a computer
PCs.
That had been built in the last 10 years in any of my clinics, I might have a shot at that.
Oh,
but
I don't say that. You've got something built in the last 10 years.
Not in the clinics. Not in the clinics. The clinics stuff's all old. So, but back to the point, you have a guy because again, you most of the computers are old. The electronic medical records are still very, very clunky, and so everybody has a guy. And in that case, you could say to the guy, but you can't ask the guy questions. All you can do is just tell him what to type in or
right.
her what to type in the scribes. And these scribes, it's an interesting thing. There are no right now no guidelines, no code of ethics for a scribe. What if the doctor says? Again, he says, computer, record that I did a complete physical exam, and he didn't. What's that scribe supposed to do? That's an ethical dilemma, and one we're not going to get into this segment.
Well, come on. You got 3 whole minutes. You should be able to expand that out completely.
I've got one thing I want to talk about this
Just
time.
Just one thing.
Yes. Angus Deaton is a Princeton economist. He won a Nobel Prize back in October. Developing ways to measure income and well-being in poor countries, pioneered work on tracking consumption of commodities. But back in 2010... he wrote a paper in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences with a guy named Daniel Kahneman, and they figured out that how happy you are on any given day stops improving when you hit $75,000 annual income.
Okay.
So, again, if you are $30,000 and you get a raise to $38,000 or $40,000, you're going to be happier most days of the year.
Right.
You walk and you're going to be happier most days of the year.
Absolutely.
Once you get above $75,000, even when you get the raise, we can't measure any improvement in your happiness.
So money doesn't buy happiness.
No, but there is a second part of the paper. If you get a raise, you have more positive thoughts about your own life, and there's no limit to this. That is, if you're making $200,000 and you get a raise to $225,000 or whatever, you're going to feel better. You're going to be more satisfied with your job. Day to day, not happier, but when you reflect on it, you're more satisfied with your life. You're doing important work because you're getting paid so much money.
See, to me, I would think that the stress levels go up as the income levels go up.
And that will reflect day to day.
Now, there's a certain point where you get past a certain number where your stresses fall off.
You just say, I don't.
It's a bell curve.
Honestly, I'm not sure of that, Rick. These are really interesting questions. First of all, is the day to day, is that a better measure of happiness than life satisfaction? Oh, I have that overall deep joy, but today I feel like a jerk. I feel awful. So in that sense, how happy am I when I have a very satisfactory job, but today I feel like crap?
I don't know, but shouldn't we talk about how that makes you more healthy or less healthy, not happy?
Well,
I mean, does happy equal healthy?
Some people think that is so. I've actually got something, but I'm not going to put it on this show, about
you're
going to
make
us wait
another year.
Yeah, well, another week anyway, but... No, the point is you ask yourself, well, you know, you're right. I mean, you win the lottery and you think, well, that's going to make me happy. And up to $75,000, it will. But beyond that, not any happier. On the other hand, I don't think you get satisfaction from winning the lottery. You can't
right.
say, well, I'm a really important person. I've done great things because I won the lottery.
I earned that.
Yeah. Yeah. Nobody earns a lottery, right?
Well, I mean, I did have to go down to the mini mart and buy the ticket. And maybe I picked the numbers.
Yeah, that's the
now,
thing.
The thing
I've got a good set of numbers. That's my claim to fame in life.
So what you're saying is my life could be defined simply by whether I want a quick pick or not.
Well, not in a sense of happiness. On a day-to-day level, if you're over $75,000, you're not going to be any happier tomorrow than you are today.
Do breaks make me happy?
Breaks do make us happy. We get a chance to stop and think about what we've just said.
And we need to.
You should do the same. We'll be back with our second fractional portion. You're listening to Health Matters on Morehead State Public Radio.
Better. Hello and welcome back. This is the second fractional portion of Health Matters. I'm Rick Phillips.
I'm Dr. Tony Weaver. This is the 2016 and Beyond Show, our salute to the future. Our sponsor for the second time, High Blood Pressure Tips, reminding you, do not delay, do not frolic, just get down with your systolic. And let's talk about the tips. The number one tip is to put a bare arm in the blood pressure cuff. wearing a poofy sweater and trying to inflate a cuff around a poofy sweater can get your blood pressure reading up 40 points higher.
Yeah, but that's not even proper. You're not even the equipment typically that they do it with, the electronic sensors, is not designed to go through that fluffy sweater. You shouldn't do it at all.
Yep. Yeah.
So it's not only is it inaccurate, it's just wrong.
It is wrong. And that is our number one tip. And the way you get around this is you get yourself, you layer your clothing.
You literally roll up your sleeves.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I'm worried about rolling up a sleeve because it's hard to get it up above your elbow. I think a short sleeve, if you layer your clothing so that you're in short sleeves in the doctor's office. I don't know what short sleeves are, but you wear them too.
Half of the year, if you live north of the Mason-Dixon line, you only go to the doctor in the summer. And if you...
You can
downside,
layer,
you go
can
to Florida, you
can
actually see a doctor year-round.
You could wear a coat. I'm not buying that. You could just wear a coat. Secondly, don't have a conversation. Adds 10 to 15 millimeters to your top number. Support your arm at heart level. If you are reaching out your arm for the cuff, if you're dangling it down at your side, that can add to your blood pressure.
And frankly, Tony, this is why typically when you go in, I think everybody who's had blood pressure tests know that they typically sit you in a chair with an arm. You know, whether it's an armrest or it's actually a, you know, like a phlebotomy type thing where you can kind of rest your arm at heart level. I mean, they kind of set you up for, you know, the normal heart range. And if you get out of that or, you know, I mean, again, having the opportunity as a young adult to play with this gear and just see how it works. And, I mean, literally, you know, dumb things. You went to eighth grade in the first segment. I went to eighth grade most of the time I worked on this equipment. We would literally sit in the shop and calibrate these things. And so if we had two or three of them in the shop at the same time, a few of us would grab them, we'd all put them on, and we'd see who could get the lowest measurements. Literally manipulate our heart rates for the electronics.
And you can control that. The other thing you could do is not wear a poofy sweater and support your arm at heart level.
It was more fun to try to show that you could actually change your heart patterns.
Right.
We could.
Number three, don't have a conversation while taking blood pressure. It turns out that the effort to have a conversation and the variety of things you might talk about can add to your blood pressure.
Well,
doesn't always, but it can.
Very few conversations are just there, right? They usually they hit an emotion in one direction or the other, right? Which that has to release some chemistry in your system and cause things. Your body's either prepping for it or unprepping for it.
Number four, empty your bladder first. Once again, 10 to 15, depending on how full the bladder is. If you come in tight, if you come in really needing to go.
Puffy.
Yeah. Puffy sweaters, puffy bladder. Either way.
Either way, that's
going to run
good.
The blood pressure up. Support your back. An unsupported back. Again, if you have to tighten those muscles up, you can add 5 to 10 millimeters up to that, just tightening the muscles in your back. Keep your legs uncrossed. Crossing your legs adds 2 to 8 millimeters, and support your feet if you dangle your feet. Now, here's the thing. So if you go in and you sit down on the exam table, no arm support, feet dangling, no back support, and you start talking to the person taking your blood pressure, then the chances of getting an accurate reading.
You're going to leave with a medication bottle.
Pretty much. This is not the way you want to go. So these are the things that you can do in the office to get an accurate blood pressure. And the same way, if you're getting your blood pressure at home, don't take it over your clothing. Don't take it when your bladder's full. Don't take it when you're angry. Take it when you have a chance of getting a good reading. And support your arm, your back, and your feet. And don't cross your legs while you're getting your blood pressure tested. These are simple things that can give you an accurate reading and can avoid unnecessary medication.
And I think Tony, one of the things we talk about with the home systems is while they have become, you know, back dating myself 20 years ago, they were very inaccurate yet consistent. Okay, that's kind of the key. The key is consistency in those devices. Well, the device will be more consistent at home if you're more consistent in how you behave while it's on your arm, right? So, you know, get into a routine, get into a habit, do it in the same place every day. You know, every time you're doing it, sit in the same chair with the same mechanics. You know, the more you as a human are consistent, then the device itself has an inherent level of consistency built into the mechanics and electronics of it. Put those all together, that's a great way to be, you know, proactive with your health and be consistent with your readings. Your doctor's going to be happy. You're going to be happy. Again, it's all in the – but if you're coming in and, you know, gosh, I got to get that blood pressure test. I just haven't done it today. And you just hurry and you do it different than you did the day before, you're setting yourself up for a reading that's not consistent, which then leads to inaccuracy, which then leads to worry, which then compounds the problem. Next thing you know, you're at your doctor's office.
Do not delay. Do not frolic. Just get down with your systolic. That's our sponsor, High Blood Pressure Tips. Now, we're going to start with the top 10 trends shaping the health industry in 2016.
So every year, it's a new year and the same old top 10 list.
I've got some eights and nines, if you'll give me a chance. But we do have to start off in the familiar area, and then we venture into the foreign area. We start with familiar, and then we venture.
Isn't it better to go to foreign first? Aren't you adventurous? Let's just go.
Start with familiar, and we venture. This is the way we do it.
1 second. I need to be back and lower my blood pressure.
This is the PricewaterhouseCoopers Health Research Institute. 1,000 U.S. adults, including experts and some of their clients, to figure out what are the top trends. Trend number one, 2016, the year of the merger. By mid-2015, nearly $400 billion in agreements and healthcare deals have been announced, breaking records set the previous year. The thing is, the Affordable Care Act has forced people to acquire partners. We see it here in Kentucky with the University of Louisville being involved with Catholic hospitals in Kentucky Health One, University of Kentucky merging with Norton and creating a network there as well. And if you look around at the hospitals in your region, there are very few of them that are independent. Most of them are corporate hospitals. Most of them have formed some form of alliance. Number two, this is the way they put it, the way the PricewaterhouseCoopers Health Research Institute put it, Goldilocks comes to drug prices. We are in a situation now spawned by the Affordable Care Act where people are required to buy insurance. The insurance has medication benefits that help pay for medications, but there is no limit on how much drug companies can charge for those medications. It is I'll call it a market aberrancy. I'm certainly not an economist, but this is not the free market when you have to buy these things. There is no free market here. You can't shop around. There are no other alternatives. And the federal government has so far not gotten involved in price setting, but they think 2016 will be the year. I've got this from December 15th. 33 states spent more than $1 billion to treat hepatitis C. This is one of our favorite topics on health matters. $1 billion, 33 states, that's $33 billion, and yet we are only treating 2.4% of our Medicaid patients who have the virus nationally. Let me say it again, $33 billion worth of treatment only covers 2.4% of Medicaid patients. New York spent more than $360 million to treat 4,000 of its 60,000 people with hepatitis C. Pennsylvania spent $100 million to treat 1,000 of their 30,000 Pennsylvanians affected with hepatitis C. Kentucky spent 7% of our entire Medicaid budget to treat, I believe it was 800 people. These numbers cannot stand. There is a Senate subcommittee investigating this, and something will happen to drug prices in 2016. We cannot continue to sustain these outrageous increases. Trend number three, Rick, you'll like this. Care in the palm of your hand. Consumers will not only use their, and I'm using the term smartphone just to make you upset, smartphone, Rick, you hear me? Mm-hmm. Smartphone. They will not only use smartphone for health monitoring, but also to provide anytime, anywhere diagnosis. That is internet, basically the internet consultation. The video consultation will be very common in 2016. 60% of consumers surveyed are willing to have a visit with their physician using their mobile device.
Is that you?
That is going to change. Well, not me, because frankly, if I can get it done over a mobile device, I already know it. You know, the basic kind of simple questions you would ask. Hopefully, I got that in medical school and in my training since medical school. So if I see a doc, I'm going to need an opinion. But I think if I'm a young person and I'm not that familiar with healthcare things, I might stop in on the doc and ask a question. Yeah, I could see it. And these right now are cash on the barrel. As you know, you pay a set amount, you ask a question, you get a set amount of time with a doc, and you can go over your concerns. And 60% said, yeah, I'll use that.
Yep.
And in 2016, I think that's going to explode.
It will. And you know, the thing is right now, it's very popular to still do it via telephone. But I think you're right. You're going to see a lot of the video mobile devices. It's just going to blow up.
I believe so, and I believe dermatology is just ripe for this. If you have a rash, just take a picture, shoot it in, and get a diagnosis. You should
be able
to do
that. Yeah, but
they
still can't get paid for it. As I recall, they still can't be paid. And so until they can get paid for reading that, unless you're willing to pay them out of your own pocket.
Right. Now, here's the thing. All right, I take a day off work. I drive to a different city, and being a rural person, I'll have to do this. I see a dermatologist. I wait in their waiting room. I read their magazines. I see them. I come back. Or I shoot a picture to them, and I pay, what, 50 bucks, 100 bucks? You think about a whole afternoon and driving to a different city. Yeah, it's probably going to turn out to be even just paying cash on it.
But I think that's going to be great for those happy people. You know, those happy
above
75,000. I think when you start getting down into those 35,000-40,000 you were talking about, I think that 50-100 bucks becomes, do I live with this rash or do I use $100? Well, it'd be different if their insurance paid and they could actually get that reading. I mean, in the end, that's what needs to happen, is the dermatologists need to be paid. Now, I think here's the funny thing. I think it's going to take, in previous experience with telemedicine and those types of interactions, the dermatologists have to be in favor of this. And I'm not sure the dermatologists are completely on board with doing all this. I mean, I think they'd like to use pictures, but I think there's some that I mean, dermatology is an odd it's an odd specialty in the fact that there are really very few of them. There's not a lot of dermatologists.
That's true.
So they don't need the business to come in from another city.
Right. What we're going to need to do, I think, is to, and right now, none of us has been trained in doing that type of relationship, doing
Correct.
Medicine that way. And so we're going to first have to learn how to do it. But
I agree with you. I think it needs to happen. I certainly, and I think it will, but I think right now that it's not being pushed in all directions.
Trend number four, cybersecurity comes to medical technology for the first time in 2016. Medical devices may see real threats from hackers. That is, you know, we know theoretically you can hack into a lot of medical devices.
Tony, I'll just tell you, you know, straight up, you know, I had an incident in the month of December, you know, where I actually was one of my accounts on a website somewhere was compromised, and it was a very painful process. You're going to see a ton more cybersecurity in the next 1 to 3 years. I mean, it's going to become the focal point of technology. Now that we've required the physicians to put all the electronic medical records and we've required healthcare to get it online, you know, get the information in computers. I mean, now we've got just tons of medical information in places that criminals can try to get to. Now, that doesn't mean they can. I mean, we protect our systems very, very well, but don't think that there's not people out there trying.
You think it's going to come as the things that I will no longer be able to do things I used to do?
No.
Or is it simply that you're just going to have a better front door to this data place?
I think it's going to take a combined approach. I think one of the things that gets people in trouble is I like to refer to them as clickers, okay? So we have clickers. In computer terms, are you a clicker? And a clicker just likes to click. They get an email and they just click. Click, click, oh, I can click here, I can click there, I can click everywhere. Well, you can't be a clicker in modern cybersecurity. You can't, because before you can let go of the mouse button, the click has already cost you your identity. Literally, the time that it takes for the mouse to come up mechanically, you've already compromised your account if you're clicking the wrong thing. Computers are so fast, and hackers are so sophisticated that you have to be extremely careful. You have to make sure you have good virus protection. You have to make sure you have good practices. If a site looks shady, guess what? You could end up with some shady stuff. It's the same thing. I mean,
no idle curiosity on your computer. Go get what you want to go.
Absolutely.
And
stay with the reputable places.
Yeah, fair
you
enough.
Know, stay reputable. Either that or you need to be smarter than the cyber criminals. And if you don't think for 1 second that you're smarter than those cyber criminals, don't mess around with them.
Don't click.
Don't click.
Number
Are you
five,
a clicker, Tony?
I'm trying to do better at it. Yeah, because, you know, I'm always looking for that story we could bring on the radio show. And so I look at some places where I shouldn't, and I'm gonna have to
Let me give you one little tip that'll help you and our listeners. If you have a friend who likes to send you Word documents, tell them to stop. If you can't deal with a PDF, right, or an Adobe format, or some type of a format that's safe to send. You can't modify it. You can't attach bugs to it. You know, you can't infect a computer by looking at a PDF. Or, you know, so if people want to send you something to review, have them send it to you in PDF. If they want you to review it and actually make changes to it, then have them tell you where to go to get it. Don't let them send it to you, because that's what everybody does. You get an email, and we can replicate a website that looks very – I mean, people can literally scrape a website and make it look just like the real one. And they can fake you into this. So the key is, whenever you see something that's coming in as a Word or an Excel or something, don't do it. Make the people that you work with or you interact with send it to you in a format that's safe.
Like a PDF.
And so that way it deals with the clicky nature of you. Then whenever you do click on it, if it's from somebody, you know it's good. Don't click on it if it's not a PDF.
Number five, money managing. This is kind of interesting. In 2016, consumers will begin to manage their health spending the way they manage their retirement savings. That is, you're going to have to think, okay, where's my deductible? I think I'm going to get that procedure done this year. I'm going to save up and have that done this year rather than
elective
just saying,
stuff.
Yeah, the things that you, again, if you have a heart attack, you should probably go ahead and get that taken care of.
I think this hernia can grow another 2 inches.
Yeah, but you could do that. The scary thing, they mentioned, you could put that into the consumer experience the way industries link spending to rewards. You could offer frequent flyer miles. That's a scary thing for a hospital, but you could offer discounts or points. Now, I'll tell you, when I get to the hospital admissions and there's two lines there, and one is for our gold,
fast
premium
pass.
And platinum
you
customers,
get you a fast pass, right?
Yeah, I am not going to be happy. But the point is, you know, these hospitals want you to come, not to come back sick, but to come back for other things. And so they may offer, in fact, combination discounts. You may decide to spend your deductible in a certain way. So you're going to have to learn to manage your spending money with these high deductible accounts in ways we haven't thought about before. Number six, in the interest of time, behavioral health care is going to come off the back burner. We're going to have to learn to deal with mental illness because it is costing us in many ways. And I'm not just talking about everybody's talking about whether or not that would be involved with gun control. I'm just talking about the cost of productivity lost and the health care of people with mental illness, $440 billion annually. We're going to have to do better than that. Number seven, care moves into the community. Low-cost outpatient care settings. In the past 24 months, 5 out of the top 15 academic medical centers have acquired community hospitals. And so we're going to see, I think, more community health care. Number eight, big databases. Okay, that's hardly a prediction. That's definite. Number nine is something called biosimilars. That is, we're going to see more things that are made by bacteria, more things that are made by living organisms rather than generated chemically. And number 10, the medical cost mystery. Healthcare systems are going to have to start publishing their prices. Consumers who are paying cash rather than just billing their insurance are going to want to know how much things cost. And right now, healthcare systems don't have the ability to publish that. That's got to change. That makes sense. I think that's pretty good.
You think?
Yeah.
Race through those last four kind of quick.
Well, because I knew you wanted to talk about security, and I wanted to get just a little bit into what we'll be doing next time.
What are we going to be doing next time?
Popular Science.
We're actually going to talk about it.
12 reasons why 2020 will be an awesome year, and they did this in the year 2000. They made predictions for 2020 and 2000.
Right.
Well, it's 2016 now. It's time to see how close we are to those predictions.
So this is nothing like in 1985 I watched Back to the Future tell me what 2015 was going to be like.
Yeah.
And come to find out,
that's
I don't
been done.
Have a really good hoverboard. The hoverboard that they have out now has wheels on it. I'm sorry.
That's not a hoverboard.
They call it a hoverboard.
I know, but you have to admit, if it's got wheels, you can't. It's not a hoverboard.
I would settle for a train with red smoke coming out of it. You know. We don't even have those anymore.
Well, I'll give you a couple of other things, and we've killed the end of this segment. But when we come back, I'm going to give you at least a couple of other things that were predicted in 2000. This was, again, before 9/11. Before a lot happened, they made some predictions about what 2020 would be like, and we get a chance to talk about them.
And we're going to.
After the break. Why don't you take a break? You're listening to Health Matters. Stay tuned for our third and final fractional portion.
Hello and welcome back. This is the third and final fractional portion of Health Matters. I'm Rick Phillips.
I'm Dr. Tony Weaver. This is the 2016 and beyond show. Our salute to the upcoming year, to the future, with a few looks back at the past, at 2015, but not too many. Our sponsor for the final time, 7 tips to get an accurate blood pressure reading. Tip number one, and the most important one, is put the cuff on your bare arm. That can raise your blood pressure 10 to 40 millimeters, depending on what you're wearing. Tip number two, support that arm at heart level, at around your chest level. Don't let it dangle. Three, don't have a conversation while taking the blood pressure. It can distract you. It can make your blood pressure go up. Four, empty your bladder. Five, support your back. Do not sit on the exam table with your back unsupported. That action can raise your blood pressure. Six, keep your legs uncrossed. And seven, support your feet. Don't let them dangle. That's our 7 tips to get an accurate blood pressure reading from our sponsor, High Blood Pressure Tips. Do not delay. Do not frolic. Just get down with your systolic. Now, before we get to the popular science, year 2000, their predictions for 2020, I want to go over one news item that I thought we ought to talk about. I have not been able to fit this in so far. December 11th, this was the New York Times, but it was really talking about a Kaiser Health Systems poll about Kentuckians' opinions on Medicaid. Now, let's go back and just remind you, the Affordable Care Act, we call it Obamacare, gave states the option of expanding their Medicaid program to include everyone younger than 65 with an income at or below 138% of the federal poverty level. Now, before the passage of the Affordable Care Act, enrollment was mainly children, pregnant women, and people who were disabled. Now we have anybody who's below 138% of the poverty line. Governor Beshear expanded that in January 2014, took advantage of this. We signed up an additional 425,000 Kentuckians. We're up over 1 million Kentuckians. One quarter of the state's population is now on Medicaid. We also got 89,000 people to buy insurance, but that's a separate issue. This is about Medicaid, and again, 425,000 residents. Now, the federal government paid for this. 100% of this, the federal government paid. Usually, the federal government pays 70% of our Medicaid bills, and Kentuckians pay 30%, but the feds paid 100% of the expansion. Most people don't know that. They don't realize that since Beshear added 425,000 residents, the feds have picked up their costs, and that has put billions, billions with a B, into Kentucky's economy. Now, starting in 2017, the feds are going to cut back to 90%. The old Medicaid deal was feds paid 70%. With all these new enrollees, and only with these new enrollees, they will pay 90%, and we will gradually move from 100% down to 90% by 2020. Now, this means that there's a lot of federal dollars coming in for these people, but it also means we're going to have to come up with 10% of the health care costs of about 425,000 residents. Again, it's there's some math to do there, but that's pretty close. 30 states expanded Medicaid under the health law. Some did not. As you know, our current governor is an opponent of the Affordable Care Act and also an opponent of Medicaid expansion. He initially said that he was going to roll it back. He since then has said he did not intend to re-enroll people at the same level going forward, and he is looking for a solution which will not. And the thing about Kentucky, we right now have an absolute crisis with our pension fund.
Right.
And it's going to take every dollar we can make. And so even though the feds are paying 90% of this, even though it seems like a good deal for the Kentucky economy, we're going to have to somehow in our budget come up with that money between 2017 and 2020, dropping down from 100% to 90%. It is a concern. And meanwhile, he's got to address those pension issues that have been allowed to reach a crisis proportion right now.
I mean, what do you do, Tony? I mean, the thing is it's kind of a there's no good win here.
There is, yeah, first of all, it will not benefit it's not going to have an immediate benefit for anybody in Kentucky, no noticeable benefits, and yet we've got to sink a lot of money, every spare dollar we've got, to try to make this pension thing work. And again, there's no way around it. We have to address it. But at any rate, this was a Kaiser Family Foundation poll, 1,000 adults across Kentucky, and they said, what do you think about Obamacare? And 49% were unfavorable about the Affordable Care Act. 41% were favorable. Of Kentuckians, 49% felt that the Affordable Care Act was an unfavorable thing. 10% weren't sure, 41% were favorable. Connect, the state's insurance exchange, 28% unfavorable, 42% favorable. Nothing really wrong with Connect. Again, we got $283 million in federal grants to build it. It is financed on a 1% surcharge for every insurance policy they write. The federal exchange is at, I think, a 2.5% or a 3.5% surcharge. So the surcharge is going to go up. The tax is going to go up on our insurance policies if we flip over to the feds. But some people feel we should. Medicaid expansion, 25% unfavorable. 63% of Kentuckians are favorable on Medicaid expansion. What are we supposed to do about it? 20% of all Kentucky residents want to scale it back. 72% want to keep it as it is, according to the Kaiser Family Foundation. That is a pretty staggering. That's as many people as want a indoor smoking ban in Kentucky. That's a lot. Democrats, 89% want to keep it like it is. Independents, 75%. Even Republicans, 54% want to keep it like it is. Conway supporters, 92% want to keep it like it is. Bevin supporters, 43% want to keep it like it is. So remember, Bevin's won with a fairly small percentage of the overall vote.
Right. It was
but when you poll the citizens of Kentucky, among all Kentucky residents, around 72% want to keep it as it is. So that's a Bevin's just going to have to figure out what to do with that, and he has to do it in such a way that he doesn't lose a lot of face about this. So that's just an update on Kentucky Medicaid and where it might be heading in 2016. Back to what we talked about. 12 reasons 2020 will be an awesome year. We'll get to as many as we can. These are the predictions from Popular Science. Number one prediction, by 2020, Japan will build a robotic moon base.
Ooh.
Not going to happen.
Still 5 years.
Yeah.
4 years.
They predict technologically possible, but economics will be a deciding factor. I think a tsunami that destroyed the Japanese coastline, the aging of the Japanese, the economy just simply wasn't there. This one you might be interested in. By 2020, say these guys, cars will drive themselves.
We'll have it before then.
I know, but here's what they said. Getting all these cars to speak to one another, we don't have the wireless infrastructure, we can't link our cars. It might be doable, but according to Popular Science, back in 2000, not by 2020. As you said, it's already being done.
Well, it's because they didn't focus on the moon.
Yeah, I guess so.
We built cars instead of the moon base. They shifted their resources into a different, you know.
But at any rate, it is not only doable, but will be done in certain parts of the country by 2020.
Yeah,
not universally.
I think, Tony, I think the cool thing about cars is the move to try to get the fuel reductions, you know, try to move it into these hybrid and electric, you know, and Tesla certainly has re-energized the technology that's gone into cars. But I think that's kind of there. A lot of people are trying to keep up with some of these innovative things. And there's just been such competition in these vehicle manufacturers that it's really driving home. I don't think there's a lot of competition to get to the moon.
Fair enough. Number three, biofuels will be cost competitive with fossil fuels. Well, there's one that sort of fell by the wayside.
Mr. Fusion.
Yeah, well, biofuels, first of all, didn't really take off, and fossil fuels dropped so dramatically since 2000.
I'm still waiting on my Back to the Future, Mr. Fusion.
Right. Well, this one, here's an interesting one. They talked about flying cars. You know, what about flying cars? Well, they said maybe the military might have a prototype by 2020, but the rest of us won't have it. We can't do it logistically. We can't do it cost-wise. Technologically, it's unlikely. The air traffic control is a nightmare. It cannot be solved. What they did not think about is unmanned
drones. Right.
Which, in fact, we have to the point where now we're having to find ways to control
them. Actually, if you go out there, there are – I'm not certain there – able to be bought yet, but I as a private pilot, I get pilot periodicals, and there are absolutely planes right now going through the certification process if they haven't already made it. I don't think they're all the way through. I would have to look at that, but they look very similar. They're the size of a small Volkswagen or something like that, but they actually have collapsible wings and a tail that can, you know, I mean, basically, this thing can drive around on the road, and then you drive onto the runway and get it set, and you can take off. And so, I mean, there are very much, I mean, they can do this. It's not something we can't do technologically. I think the killer is we can't afford it. You know, planes, these types of planes have gotten so expensive that this prototype, this thing will cost between $200,000 and $300,000. I mean, and let's be honest, I scratch my head wondering how there's so many $50,000 vehicles on the road these days.
Yes.
Because it's amazing how prices have gotten so exorbitant. But I don't think anybody's going to drop $200,000 to $300,000 in large numbers to start having a car that flies. So you will see, and I think in the next 3 to 5 years, you will see kind of like Teslas. Right now in Kentucky, Tesla's not a huge market. But you'll see one every once in a while. You go out to San Jose or San Francisco, they're everywhere. I think you'll see the same thing with the flying cars. In 5 years, you'll probably see, you'll see one occasionally, and then you go to some area and you'll see a bunch of them.
Fair enough. But again, they completely missed out on drones. Here's a big miss as well.
And you got to wonder, why did they miss drones? Why did they not? I mean, we had remote control airplanes back then.
Yeah, they apparently just didn't have the idea that we could put the kind of electronics in them to basically you can have an aerial view around the corner of your area.
So do we blame the iPhone for that? Because they compressed that technology into such a tight package with accelerometers and GPS. And I mean, there's actually a drone being produced right now. And if you ever watched the show Shark Tank, it was one of the episodes on Shark Tank. The drone itself is very cheap. But you take your iPhone and you snap it in and you hook the cable up to it. It uses the phone's accelerometer. It uses the phone's GPS. It uses the phone's electronics. It uses all the processing power in the phone to do the work. It's just motors and batteries.
Right. And so when it crashes, somebody gets access to your address list.
Well, that's probably true, but I think this is more of a toy than anything. But it's got the cameras built into the phone. What I'm saying is it takes a $300 or $400 cheap drone and makes it a $30 cheap drone.
Here's a sad one. I've just got to say this. The prediction, we will control devices via microchips implanted in our brains. And they said, not going to happen. Neural communications are chemical and electrical. We have no idea how that works. Somebody might be able to put electronics in your head, but I don't think it's going to be very useful. It's going to be only nominally useful. The problem that they did not anticipate, again, is the Gulf War, the number of people that would have limb amputations,
right,
and the growth of artificial limbs. In fact, we have the ability to control devices, arms, legs, and so forth via these chips for much greater purpose and also in greater amounts than they anticipated. And it's great that we're able to do that. It's sad that we have to do that.
Right. It's a technology advancement that really,
it's a shame it happened.
Yeah, it's a shame it's had to happen.
All new screens will be ultra thin. There may be some old LCD monitor screens, but the entire industry shifts to surfaces, many with touch capability. Well, yes, they nailed that.
Bingo.
One. Yeah.
Well, let me tell you what now, Tony, if we got just a minute. These shows are recorded just a little bit in advance, so I'm going to out us a little bit, but this week, the show that airs this week, is CES, Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas. I will be at that show, and I'm expecting to see a large 50-inch or greater screen that will roll up. So just think of your poster. You roll your poster up. Now, imagine it on a magnetic mount where you put it on the wall. You mount it up. It gets wireless power. You know, and it gets a wireless connection or a contact connection for its video. So you roll it up, and you take it into the next room, and you put it on that wall. So now you have your 60-inch screen can go to whatever room you want it. But you'll be able to roll it up like a poster and take it wherever you want.
So, yeah, and they said done. They knew that the technology would be coming around. From touch screens that will be thin, which everybody agrees are here.
As I say this, looking at my tablet.
Yeah. Then the other one, commercial space will take us to the moon and asteroids, and we'll be mining them.
Asteroids, there are the ability now to buy a commercial seat that can take you into space. It's like $200,000 a seat, and you're only there for like 45 minutes.
Right.
But you can actually... I'm blanking on the name of it. I could go to the computer and waste some time, but I won't. But it has an X in it.
All right. But
next, well, it's Elon Musk, the same guy who did Tesla.
Yeah. SpaceX.
SpaceX, right? That's it.
Right, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Space and X. It has an X in it. That's probably it. This one, I'm still kind of baffled by this one. Universal translation will be commonplace in mobile devices. Here's what they said. Translation will probably happen in the cloud, whatever that is, back in 2000. With massive bodies of language knowledge compiled by companies and governments, it's probable, but with varying degrees of accuracy depending on the language, which you could say anyway. But as far as translation and devices, yeah, you can talk into your phone and it will translate what you say into any language.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
Google's going to Google Translate has been a leader in that, and they've done well. I mean, it's, you know, I like the Microsoft translation engines, but Google's done a great job.
Next one up, we'll finally see some augmented reality glasses. And what's interesting is we saw it, and we got rid of it.
Well, yeah, I mean, because they just weren't what we thought. But now, interestingly enough, who thought the watch was going to come back?
Right.
I mean, the watch went away, and now it's back.
Yeah.
It's trendy now to wear a smartwatch.
Right. In fact, my kids did not own a watch between the three of them.
Right.
We had given up. That generation had
New
given
Christmas
up on the watch.
New Christmas present ideas.
Yeah. And so it comes back.
Fitness
coincidence?
Trackers.
I think not.
Fitness trackers.
That's right.
Evil.
But back to the glasses. They said, well, you could have augmented reality overlay directly onto whatever we happen to be looking at. And certainly we've seen that. Depends on the glasses and GPS, but GPS should be accurate enough by 2020, and certainly it is. Also the spatial web geolocation. Well, we had it all. We had Google Glass, and we could, in fact, you could embed all sorts of things. So you could look down the street, and you could see where were good places to eat, restaurant ratings, and so forth. And they said, we're already halfway there. Yes, we are, but it was so obnoxious, the people that had these glasses, they, in fact, did them in.
And, you know, I think 3D technology in the home is kind of going away, a silent death. I think people don't really want to watch 3D in their home.
Yeah. So it's interesting. One more, last one. Storage media, CDs, DVDs, VCRs, and cassette tapes will disappear.
Gone.
Yeah, pretty much. It's it.
Flash drives.
We'll
done.
Be able to store things in a lot smaller containers.
Well, flash drives
are
even going to go away to some extent because people are going to store things in the cloud.
Yeah.
We just need faster internet.
And we need to get off the air faster, Rick. Can you help us out with that?
Special thanks to Morehead State Public Radio producer Spencer Johnson filling in for Hunter Reese. And to Eric Bilbrey, who wrote our Health Matters theme song. And to you, our loyal radio fans. Remember to show your support. I'm going to start that over. Special thanks to Morehead State Public Radio producer Spencer Johnson and to Eric Bilbrey, who wrote our Health Matters theme song. And to you, our loyal radio fans, remember to show your support for Health Matters by visiting our digital empire. To listen to the show, go to WMKY.org or visit us on Facebook. Just do a search for HM Radio Show.
For our radio crew and the supportive folks at the Northeast AHEC, thanks for listening to our show. And remember,
Health Matters is a health radio show for adult males who have low or no testosterone.
It is not known if Health Matters is safe or effective in children younger than 18 years old. Radio shows that are applied to the skin may have different doses, different strengths, or different application instructions that may lead to different levels of testosterone in your body.
Health Matters can transfer from your body to others. This can happen if other people come into contact with the area where Health Matters was heard.
Unexpected signs of puberty have happened. Puberty,
uh-oh.
I say. Puberty has happened in young children who were accidentally exposed to radio shows through skin-to-skin contact with men using health radio products like Health Matters.
Women and children should avoid contact with the unwashed or unclothed area where Health Matters has been heard. If a woman or child makes contact with the Health Matters application area, the contact area on the woman or child should be washed well with soap and water. Right away.
That's right. Wash your kids' ears out. Do not take this stuff lying down. Get out this week. Make a healthy change in your life. And tune in next week as Health Matters answers your questions about a man with a wooden leg named Smith on Morehead State Public Radio.